Good morning. It's always a joy to have you back with us for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. And many, many times we have folks that are able to be with us and share just unique ministries with us. And today is certainly that opportunity. We have Ron Davis and James with us. And this is really exciting because it's been several years ago that we talked about a special ministry to those who are incarcerated. And now this is, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, you know, and able to just kind of see what happened as a result maybe of that broadcast and kind of getting the word out as to what this ministry is all about and how people can get involved. And so we want to welcome you guys.
Thank you.
So tell us a bit about the ministry again.
Brother Bob's Outreach?
Yes.
Is probably a 40-year-old ministry of volunteers that go inside the prison system and serve the church and reach out with a word to people who are incarcerated. And it comes in the form of preaching and Bible studies and visits. And on the outside, there's letter writing, prayer support. That's it. God uses us.
That's awesome. James, I understand that you heard about this, and tell me your first reaction when you heard about the ministry.
Well, I listened to the broadcast in the morning as I was getting ready for work, and there was a couple of folks on from Brother Bob's. And at that point, I was interested in getting involved in some kind of a ministry, and I was just open to whatever God might bring before me.
Right.
And I heard your broadcast, and I thought, that sounds interesting to me. And I was especially drawn to the pen pal part of the ministry, and part of my reasoning was I'm actually a better communicator in writing than I do verbally.
So yeah, okay.
It was a natural fit by my giftedness, and so I contacted Brother Bob's and got involved, and I've been blessed ever since. Still involved.
So describe to us the pen pal ministry.
Well, the volunteers in the office compile a group of letters as they come in, and they assign them to different pen pals. We use a pen pal name, so it's not in our real name.
Okay, yeah.
So it protects our privacy as well.
Right, right.
And depending on the volume, we'll get several letters a week, and I respond to each letter one by one.
Okay.
And I do develop a relationship with the pen pals, and they develop a relationship with me. So it's a vital opportunity to speak directly to their hearts.
The average person that writes a letter, they write to the Brother Bob's Outreach with the idea of being connected with a pen pal person or not?
Yes. They contact the ministry and ask for a pen pal.
I see.
And then we get assigned. And then once we're assigned, all their mail comes back to us each time.
Instead of through the ministry, it just comes...
No, it does come through the ministry.
Okay.
Through the office, they
read it. Otherwise, your postman would say, who is this?
Right, right.
Okay, all right. So it comes through the ministry to you. The average turnaround time, let's say they write a letter, you get it, you write a letter back, how long before they would respond to you, average?
On the average, about 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
It's a fairly quick turnaround.
Okay. And is this designed to be, well, I guess it's probably designed to be whatever they need. If they're not a believer.
Right.
Or if they're a believer, what's the next spiritual step?
When I write letters, the first time letter, I generally ask in a low-key way, just could you give me some of your background or your family background, where you grew up, what kind of work you used to do, what was your education like?
Right, right.
And they're very cooperative. They'll write back. And based on that, I can kind of minister to them in different ways. A lot of it has to do with their age and whether they're believers or not. And,
sure,
of course,
sure.
Then I customize it from there to, in every case, the underlying goal is to always point them towards Christ.
Right.
Whatever level they're at.
That's James sharing his own involvement in the pen pal ministry. Brother Ron, how long has this pen pal ministry been operating?
Well, it started with a man who became saved, Bob, Brother Bob.
Okay.
And he became Brother Bob.
Right, right.
and, And the Lord led him into prisons, and as he saw needs, he developed it. And so some people have been doing this for many years.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Now, is Brother Bob still alive?
No, he had a strategy of starting something and then moving on and replacing that need with someone else. So that's how the volunteers, and he landed up going to the Philippines and did his last years in service to the prisoners in the Philippines.
Oh, I declare.
He married a lady from there, and they lived there.
That would explain his main interest then,
wouldn't it? Yes, he enjoyed his latter years very much.
Oh, I'm sure,
And she continues the ministry there.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, how does a woman continue to ministry in prison? How does that work?
Well, in the same way it works with a man. You go in the Philippines, she just goes in, and there she brings some small pieces of food,
okay,
and hygiene items,
sure,
and preaches the gospel.
Okay.
And here we can't take anything in with us.
Oh, I see.
But many women will go into Tichita and Ellsworth or our jails,
uh-huh,
and bring themselves and bring the Bible, bring the word, bring prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The key word there was food, probably, huh?
Well, it helps, yeah, because there's very little, you know, prisoners are pretty much on their own in the Philippines.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that opening door is nice. But she goes. She travels, difficulty in doing that in the Philippines. But
right.
Yeah, her and another lady do that.
Right. And this ministry started in what year, Brother Bob's?
I would say originally,
yes,
in the late 70s, 80s,
okay,
here in Wisconsin.
Right.
And then he spent maybe 15 years in the Philippines.
So he's got the pen pal ministry. What other aspects of ministry does he have in outreach into the prisons?
Within the prisons itself, it would be in the form of leading worship services,
mm-hmm,
with preaching, the word, testimony, singing,
okay,
music. And then there's Bible studies in various prisons around the state, where men or women would come, and then there would be an ongoing weekly or less weekly. And then there's visits where somebody would go and visit and make friends.
Gotcha.
In a personal way.
Give us an address or a phone number or whatever, a website, that somebody who's interested in any of these things that we're talking about could contact the Brother Bob's Outreach and say, I'm interested in this. How can I get involved?
Yeah, there is a website. And it's Brother Bob's Outreach.
Is it .org?
It might well be.
Probably, brotherbobs.org.
I forgot one other thing. Right. There's a sports ministry.
All right.
Which is teams of individuals who are into softball, volleyball, basketball. The team will go in and play an inmate team.
And that's originally how I heard about the ministry.
Uh-huh.
Was sports outreach. And it was really neat because the gentleman that was involved in that would play sometimes, you know, a couple of times a week in various prisons.
Oh, mm-hmm, it's serious sport. Yeah.
So I guess it's if you lose, it's the spirit of Christ, you know, as to how you lose, you know, that becomes a testimony.
Yeah. But it's 100% from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in. Yeah.
That's the truth. So if we have some sports enthusiasts that are listening to us this morning, they may say, oh, softball. I might be interested in that.
Yeah, you'll have a game on your hands.
Well, James, the letters that you get, how many people are you a pen pal with right now then?
It varies over time. New ones come on. Some of the more established ones will drop off. But on any given time, I would guess there's about 7 to 10 active ones.
Okay.
It's kind of neat to see this happening. What happens is the pen pal ministry is kind of like the entry level, and we get the people who are just waking up in prison and realizing their life is a shambles, and they're totally isolated from everybody.
Sure.
And they're desperate for someone to communicate with.
Uh-huh.
So you get this direct approach to their heart.
Right.
And then I always encourage them, again, I point them towards Christ. And as part of that, I can point them towards other ministries within the prison itself. So I encourage them to get involved in their church fellowship right there.
Right, right.
And in the sports ministries, if they have out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of my early pen pals have, I call it, graduated.
Oh.
They they come to know Christ, right, and they join their local church right there, and they kind of drop off, which is fine.
Right, right.
And there's always a new crop of new pals, so it's...
You know, James, you mentioned right at the beginning of our broadcast that you were better in writing than maybe one-on-one, face-to-face. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because we each have our gifts.
Right.
And some folks will say, wow, you've really got a gift in this area. And we had no clue. Radio is one thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue that I had, that they say, well, you got a real radio voice. And I'm going, what is a radio voice? You know, Paul Harvey to me has a radio voice, you know, but I don't have that voice, you know. But the key there is every one of us have something that God has engifted us with. And if we will just say, okay, Lord, whatever it is, I'm open. I believe God will open a door, don't you?
Yes, oh, yes.
Yeah.
And as the Lord does that, then as he watches us walk through, he will then say, okay, now you're ready for the next spiritual step.
Mm-hmm.
I know when my son was graduated from college, he was scared to death to speak publicly, but he was a youth ministries major. Well, duh, you know, if you're going to be working with teenagers, you have to speak publicly. But he said, oh, Dad, no, I don't think I can do that. And so through the years, then people began to ask him to do it. And it was just really a blessing to watch that be developed. And so it's a challenge for each one of us, whatever we're gifted in.
God will use it.
What's the next step? What are some of the qualifications for ministering to prisoners?
Grace. There's a hunger for hope.
Okay.
That God can work it out. The belief that even though things are falling apart right now, that God can make them better.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reminding people that when you put your life in God's hands, he works it out, and he provides the grace to get through. So someone who's experienced that personally and know that they don't deserve the blessings that God's given them.
Oh, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone with that attitude of sharing God's love.
Right.
Not trying to teach or exhort or correct, but they've got plenty of that. But more like we're in this together and God's good enough.
Okay. Well, we've run out of time, guys, but that's a great closing thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
God's grace. And where would any of us be apart from God's grace? And so just sharing our own personal testimony of this is what I was, but by the grace of God, this is now what I am. And it can be your story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put it in the song, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you.
Amen.
It is no secret what God can do. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening to us this morning, and we trust that it's been a challenge to your hearts that whatever door God may open for you, walk through it, trust his grace, be used by him. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.